glare of light. There was old sex in the room, and loneliness, and expectation of something without a shape or name. I remember that yearning, for something that was always about to happen, and was never the same as the hands that were on us there and then, in the small of the back, or out back, in the parking lot, or in the television room, with the sound turned down and only the pictures flickering over lifting flesh. We yearned for the future. How did we learn it? That talent for insatiability. It was in the air. And it was still in the air, an afterthought, as we tried to sleep, in the army cots that had been set up in rows, with spaces between so we could not talk. We had flannelette sheets, like children's, and army-issue blankets, old ones that still said US. We folded our clothes neatly and laid them on the stools at the ends of the beds. The lights were turned down, but not out. Aunt Sarah and Aunt Elizabeth patrolled. They had electric cattle prods slung on thongs from their leather belts. No guns, though. Even they could not be trusted with guns. Guns were for the guards, specially picked from the angels. The guards weren't allowed inside the building except when called, and we weren't allowed out except for our walks, twice daily, two by two around the football field, which was enclosed now by a chain-link fence topped with barbed wire. The angels stood outside it with their backs to us. They were objects of fear to us, but of something else as well. If only they would look. If only we could talk to them. Something could be exchanged, we thought. Some deal made, some trade-off. We still had our bodies. That was our fantasy. We learnt to whisper, almost without sound. In the semi-darkness, we could stretch out our arms when the aunts weren't looking and touch each other's hands across space. We learnt to lip-read, our heads flat on the beds, turned sideways, watching each other's mouths. In this way, we exchanged names from bed to bed. Alma, Janine, Dolores, Moira, June. 2. Shopping. Chapter 2. A chair, a table, a lamp. Above, on the white ceiling, a relief ornament in the shape of a wreath, and in the centre of it a blank space, plastered over, like the place in a face where the eye has been taken out. There must have been a chandelier once. They've removed anything you could tie a rope to. A window, two white curtains. Under the window, a window seat with a little cushion. When the window is partly open, it only opens partly. The air can come in and make the curtains move. I can sit in the chair or on the window seat, hands folded, and watch this. Sunlight comes in through the window too and falls on the floor, which is made of wood in narrow strips, highly polished. I can smell the polish. There's a rug on the floor, oval of braided rags. This is the kind of touch they like. Folk art, archaic, made by women in their spare time, from things that have no further use, a return to traditional values. Waste not, want not. I'm not being wasted. Why do I want? On the wall above the chair, a picture framed, but with no glass, a print of flowers, blue irises, watercolour. Flowers are still allowed. Does each of us have the same print, the same chair, the same white curtains? I wonder. Government issue? Think of it as being in the army, said Aunt Lydia. A bed, single, mattress medium hard, covered with a flocked white spread. Nothing takes place in the bed but sleep, or no sleep. I try not to think too much. Like other things now, thought must be rationed. There's a lot that doesn't bear thinking about. Thinking can hurt your chances, and I intend to last. I know why there is no glass in front of the watercolour picture of blue irises, and why the window only opens partly, and why the glass in it is shatterproof.